A couple of visuals here. Yeah, there it is. Okay, thank you. The eagle spreading his wings over their babies. Now, what we do in Israel, we help feed kids, and we help with what we do, we help them to survive. This is what the mother eagle is doing here. Here's a visual of the temple, and I want you to remember these visuals as we chat this morning, as we teach this morning. This is from the Temple Institute, Research Institute in Jerusalem. They're developing plans, and as you may know, many of the temple implements have been replicated according to biblical specs, and they're planning on rebuilding the temple one day, and this is one of their visuals. But this is what the temple may have looked like during the time of Yeshua. The inside of the temple, you see there the curtain, and behind that is the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, and the cherubim. Now, we just want you to look at this visual for a while as we do teach. Listen, during this time of this pandemic, I have received emails, and I'm sure Grant has received emails and letters of people are very, there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of despair, there's a lot of fear, even to the strongest among us. And there is a paralysis spiritually and emotionally. For many believers, one of the things that is wonderful is we are made for community, and I'm so glad you have decided to meet. And I don't know what the laws here are in Ohio, but I am so delighted that you have chosen to meet. As you know, there are challenges across the country regarding people meeting, and let me commend you on this and to encourage you. Your expression of worship this morning reminded me of really what the early church did in terms of their expression of worship. As you know, the first 11 chapters of the book of Acts was principally a Jewish church convening together, and it was very liturgical, similar to what we experienced this morning. So I commend you to that. And I thank the Lord for your beloved congregational leader. Listen, I speak in Messianic congregations. I speak in a lot of churches, and there are leaders, pastors, congregational leaders. They shouldn't be in that position. They're knuckleheads. What can I say? But then there are those who are called of God, whose hand of God is upon them, who have a shepherd's heart. And I want you to know, congregation, God has given you a congregational leader who has a shepherd's heart. You are blessed as a congregation. Listen, it's always been the believers who are on the cutting edge of whatever crisis there may have been in history. They were the ones out on the front lines helping the lepers, the sick, those who suffered with the plague. And this is what I understand here, that you are on the cutting edge, helping people along the way. And that blesses my heart. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 91. And I want you to understand that there, first and second persons are referred to. It was sung back and forth. Now, they don't know if Moses wrote this psalm. Now, when I read this psalm, follow me here. You don't have to read. What I want you to do when I read these verses, I just want you to listen, maybe close your eyes. If you fall asleep, it's okay. It's a safe place to fall asleep. But I want to read the text, and I want you to let Adonai Ruach HaKodesh, God, the Holy Spirit, to simply speak to you, to whisper to you. Now, like I said, the first part of the psalm is first and second persons, back and forth. Rabbis have different interpretations of who's speaking back and forth, so do evangelicals. But what we do know is that in verses 14, 15, and 16, the last three verses, God is speaking to the psalmist. But just hear the words, and then we're going to focus on verses 1 through 6. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Now God begins to speak. Adonai begins to speak. Hashem. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and let him see my Yeshua, my salvation. An amazing song. It comforts the hearts of millions around the world. Let's look at a few of these verses. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Believers feel protected from pursuing enemies. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. When I was a child, I grew up here in Ohio, in Canton, in fact. And there was a woods nearby, the Nemecillin Creek, or if you're from Ohio, it's Crick. And you wash up instead of wash up. Did you know that? We have a unique culture nuance here, don't we? But I remember every summer we had a project. One of the projects we decided we were going to dig underneath the creek. And you know what we discovered about 6 weeks into it? You can't do that. You start digging underneath the creek, and you know what happens? It gets all icky and gooey and wet, and we could have died, but we did. But we built a treehouse instead, and it was great because we were high up away from the girls who had the cooties. We were safe. You see, believers feel protected. He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon, the Most High, beyond the reach of evil, beyond the reach of harm. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence, the psalmist says. Even today, Grant mentioned some of the Palestinians that we had visited. Even today with the Bedouins, generally throughout the whole Middle East, those who enter the homes, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Arab, those who enter their homes come under the shadow or the shade of protection. And let me explain. The idea of great hospitality and protection comes from the Hebrew word chesed, which is often translated mercy in the Bible. When you talk about God's mercy, you're talking about his hospitality. You're talking about his protection. You're talking about his provision. It reminds us of the parable in Matthew 25 with the master left and gave one servant 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. And you recall the guy that had the 1 talent was afraid of the master. He hid the talent. He didn't invest it. And the master came back and was upset. But the idea is those servants were under the protection, and had the children come down under the talit this morning, and we understand why with all this going on, but they're under the fringes, the tzitzit. They're under his wings. Tzitzit is also called wings, as you know. The Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings, but you're under that protection. You can go in and out of the master's house. You are protected. You are provided for. But you also have to do the chores. That's another idea of being in the home of someone, whether Arab or Jewish, do the dishes. But you're under our protection. And while I was in the home of Palestinian believers in the West Bank, it was a very difficult time in the Middle East. There were tanks in the streets and gunfire and all of this. And, 5 times a day, the minarets, the imam, they pray, you know. Around 5:30, they get in the microphone, they go, thud. And then they start praying. 5:30 in the morning. Now, I am not a morning person. You know, there's just not enough coffee, I'm just saying. Yeah, God, he made the bean. Amen for that. Listen. It's true. 5 times a day, I listen to this. And it's interesting, after a while, you don't hear it. Because you're there. I was writing one of my books. And anyway, one day, over the loudspeaker, I thought I heard American. And I thought I heard Zionist. I thought, oh, my word. So I asked my Palestinian believers, my friends, he sounds angry today. What is he saying? Their heads dropped. They said, Dr. Jeff, he's talking about you. I said, oh, my word. What do you mean? They said, we strongly recommend you stay in our home for the next few days. You see, a day or two before, I went down to the local shawarma place, if you could imagine. It was like going into a Subway, but with outdoors. And I went in there. And I saw this poster, and it had this guy on there, kind of rough-looking character with the bullet strapped over his chest. Here, this guy was a martyr, quote-unquote, who apparently blew himself up at a time. And the owner of the shawarma place was the guy's brother. And I learned that while I was eating shawarma, and I thought, oh my, I got to get out of here. And I did. I left and went back to my Palestinian believing friends, Christians. They love Jesus. And then a couple days later, this guy started talking, the imam started talking about me, that there was an American Zionist in our midst, and they implied I was with the CIA. I have a friend who was, I'm not in the CIA. So I stayed in their home. Do you know those people? Listen, the Palestinian believers, if they tried to come in, if the bad guys would have tried to come in to kill me or hurt me or take me, they would fight, they would have fought for me. And I understood that. That is the Hebrew word chesed, hospitality, provision, protection. Let's look at verse 2. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Now, refuge and fortress are a reference to the temple. You saw a visual of the temple where the presence of God dwelt. You see there over the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God between the cherubim. You see, when there was a plague or the enemy approached, people would run to the temple to get behind the walls for protection and to be near to God, Adonai. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." And people would run into the temple to get behind the walls, to be safe from the plague, to be safe from the enemy, to be safe from evil. God is there. His presence is there. His Shekinah is there. Verse 3, "For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence." Now, fowler is an invocation that God will protect you from the dangerous attempts against your life that comes from evil, pestilence, or famine, things of that nature. Verse 4. "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge." Like that eagle, the photo of the eagle you saw. The eaglets were under her wings. They were protected. "That you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark." Well, under his wings is the Shekinah, or the divine presence of God. Believers rest in his shadow, for God protects him. You are in his shadow, under his wings. Now, the wings may also refer to the cherubim, as you see there. Now, some theologians believe that it's a reference to that, under his wings, referencing the cherubim. Either way, listen, the divine presence hovered over the ark, and you are resting in his shadow. Now, his faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Now, what is this referring to? A shield could, in fact, completely surround and protect the warrior. The Talmud suggests it was a shield that moved around about with him. This shield, according to the Talmud, completely encapsulated this soldier. Complete protection. He could move around somehow in it. The buckler is a wall. Now, man, there's been a lot of talk about walls lately. But the buckler is a wall. Remember, they would run to the temple to get behind the wall, a barricade, protection, defense against attack from pestilence, evil. Both shield and bulwark are an encompassing shield of protection. Now, verse 5. "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day." An amazing verse. The terror by night is the absence of light. The absence of light. In the light, you can see and understand. But when you're alone at night, not knowing who or what is out there, you need not fear God. God will protect you. That's the idea. God will protect your soul and your being. Listen, I was a pastor for 100 years. I've been working in Israel for 150 years, so you can figure out, do the math there. Listen, when I was a pastor and people were in the hospital, People were sick or alone, the widow. It was the night that was the longest. And I would go there as a pastor. And when I got the call, I was there. You just are. Your flock, you go. And I would go there and I would hold their hand and find out what scripture, you know, what's your favorite scripture. I would read scripture to them. It wasn't anything that I said. It was the scripture that comforted them at night. The Ruach HaKodesh comforted them. God, the Holy Spirit, would comfort them through the word. There were three widow ladies. They were sisters. And I'm not making this up. A long time ago. Their last name was Grimm. They were the Grimm sisters. And I was young in the ministry. I was in my late 20s. And I would go and visit the Grimm sisters. And they would have cookies and, you know, cherry pie and things of that nature. And we'd visit for, you know, the afternoon. And we'd talk and eat their whatever they baked. It was a lovely time. Well, one of the sisters became ill. Sister Grimm became ill. She ended up in the hospital, and I held her hand, and I read scripture and all of that. And she says, you know, she called me Brother Jeff. She says, you know, Brother Jeff, she's about 40 years older than me. She says, you know, Brother Jeff, she says, and with tears in her eyes, she says, I look so forward to seeing Jesus. So I prayed with her, and she said the things. You know, I went there to comfort her, but actually she encouraged me and comforted me. And I prayed with her and read her favorite portion of scripture. I don't recall what it was, but I read the scripture to her. We held hands, and I said goodbye to Sister Grimm. And about 20 minutes later, she closed her eyes, and she saw her master. But at night, she says it was difficult at night, but she was ready. You will not be afraid by the terror by night, the psalmist wrote. He says, or by the arrow that flies by the day. Now, keep in mind, the arrow here mentioned is not a human weapon. Rather, metaphorically, it is some demonic power the psalmist is referring to. Do you remember Shaul, Rabbi Paul? He said in 2 Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Do you know what the word perilous means and what it refers to according to the ancients? Is demonically fierce times. You know how you know you may be living in the last days? Good, right is wrong, and wrong is right. And there's a demonic fierceness that infuses the world. The Lord will protect you, Psalm 121 says, from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going in and your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. This demonic power, this demonically fierce age that we live in, you do not have to be afraid, though there will be moments. There are days that we do this better. Do you know that? The good news is, we used to call it, you get to have a do-over. Every morning, His grace and mercy is renewed. Verse 6, you will not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. Now, pestilence that walks in the darkness. The context of this is that of demons or envoys of evil. Now, the pestilence is either caused by the demons or is the demon. Scholars debate back and forth on that, so we don't know. But the pestilence that walks in the darkness is either caused by demons or is simply referring to demons. Either way, you should not be afraid. You shall not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. The Hebrew word is ketev, meaning destroying, to cut off, to scourge, that like of a scorching desert wind, a sandstorm. In the Middle East, down in the Negev, there are a lot of sandstorms. I've been in those sandstorms. And it rips your skin. It burns. It's terrible. Those terrible sandstorms. It destroys. The psalmist says, you don't have to be afraid even of that. Listen, there's a lot of things, whether Moses or David penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words are profound, the words are comforting. These words remind us that we are protected under his wings in the shade of Elyon, the Most High. Now, here are some points to remember in all of this. Number one, believers are in the shade of Shaddai, the Almighty. Number two, we are protected from harm from anything or anyone pursuing us. Now, let me say this. Now, you, in this day and age in which we live, sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to be harmed, so I'm going to go into the crowd of angry people and God will protect me. Now, we must never, ever be foolish. We must always be wise. And listen, the Lord said that he will never, ever keep us from tribulation and testing and harm. But he says that he will be with us, as we will find out here in a few moments. But as we look at this, we are protected from harm. But you almost must be wise. If you're driving down the road and you see a crowd of people, go the other way. Number three, God will never abandon his children. That's an amazing promise, is it not? Some of us know abandonment. We have experienced that in our lives, and it's not a pleasant thing. It's a very painful thing, a very painful reality. But the truth of the matter is Psalm 27, even when mother and father forsake me, David says, God, you are there. You are my mother. You are my father. He will never, ever abandon his children. Number four, there is no need to fear. He will help us. Isaiah 41, I love this. Isaiah 41, 13. He says, listen, I will hold your hand, your right hand. I will walk with you. He says, do not be afraid. I will help you. Number five, God is sovereign, the ruler of the universe. He's in charge. Satan's not in charge. God is in charge. Number six, believers are under the divine presence of God. As we see the visual here, it's referencing that. Number seven, God's protection is an encompassing shield. Now, number eight, the temple where the presence of God dwelt was where you found safety and peace. You know, shalom. Now, number nine. Now listen very closely. You may know this, but it's good to be reminded of this. For those of you who are believers in Yeshua, remember Shaul's words, Paul's words. He says, your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. You see this visual here? That's in here. Is what the rabbi is saying. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Ruach HaKodesh, the presence of God, is here. The peace, the protection, The safety y'all long for, we all long for, is found in Yeshua. The presence of God through the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, dwells in you, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a believer, we need not fear in this crazy age that we live in. Number 11, God protects in the darkness where there is no light, and at noon, when the brightest of the light shines. Now listen, 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 listen to number 12. Yeshua taught his disciples, listen to his words. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim it to the housetops. You see, in the darkest of night, when your back is up against the wall, when you are paralyzed with fear, or that thing happened and that event happened and the person did this and that, or this happened to you and you heard the news or whatever it is, and you are full of fear and anxiety of the unknown, will I do? Yeshua says, what I tell you in darkness, listen. What I whisper to you, what would Yeshua say in a time of fear and confusion and anxiety, the unknown? What he is whispering is, I will hold your hand. You know, as a little child, you would reach up and your mom or your dad or your grandma, you know, Safta, my grandmother, would hold my hand. And I felt safe. I was afraid of a bridge. You could look down and see the creek under. I looked down, I was afraid. She held my hand, I felt safe. I will hold your right hand. I will walk with you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. I will help you. I will help you. This is what Jesus whispers in our ears. It is in the darkness. Number 13, it is in the darkness that we learn to listen to Yeshua. It's during the times of trial and uncertain circumstances, the crazy times, that he whispers in our ears. Yeshua speaks intimately in moments of pain. He knows your pain. No one else may know your pain, but he knows your pain. Fear and suffering. Now here's the kicker. Here's the thing. Number 14. To hear him, we must be quiet. If we talk and move around, we busy ourselves with helps, we may not hear him. Now don't misunderstand. Helps are good. Counseling is good, advice is good, and taking the medication is good and all of that, but we busy, especially Americans. And I grew up in Ohio, and I know how stubborn and bullheaded you are, and you can do. You got that can-do spirit. You want to fix it. We'll just build it. We'll hold it. We'll do it. Just hold up. And we scurry around, and we confuse nervous activity with spirituality often. We must learn to be quiet, and it's hard, it's difficult. In the Middle East, the hospitality, the chesed, you're in their home and you have lunch. That's like a 2.5-hour proposition right there. You just learn to be patient and you enjoy to be quiet, to think about God, think about his word. Be silent and pause. Number 15. Listen to what he wants to say to you through God, the Holy Spirit, and then in the light, shout it from the rooftops, share it with your neighbors and loved ones. Listen, in the world, Yeshua said, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then he says, shalom I leave with you, my shalom, my peace, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, listen, I want you to turn to the Berit HaDashah, the New Covenant, and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. In Philippians 4, Rabbi Shaul is saying, please give my love to these people and those people. And what he says in verse 3, he says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel and with Clement also. I just wanted you to see the word Clement. Now, hesed, mercy, we're under his protection, provision, it's hospitality, shelter. There's a prayer here from a guy by the name of Clement. It's the same Clement that Paul Shaul referred to. I enjoy these early church prayers, especially when they knew or followed or were with the apostles. Now, you give you a little bit. Who is Clement? Now, this is the first epistle of Clement. He wrote a bunch of epistles like his mentor Paul did. And you can read them. They're fascinating reading. He wrote the right to Corinthians, the Galatians, similar to Paul. He was an apostolic father of the church. He knew he was a contemporary of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John, Yochanan, as you may know. And Ignatius. He was ordained by Peter. Who knew? Can you imagine? But listen to his prayer. This is the Clement from Philippians 4. He says, we ask you, Master, first of all, stop, pause. In our culture, because of all the sensitivities, we don't use words such as this. But the idea is servitude. You know, I'm a bondservant, as Paul would say, of Yeshua. Yeshua is our master. We have a good master who provides, who protects, who shelters us in his, under his wings, his mercy. This is what it's referring to. He says, we ask you, master, be our helper and defender. Rescue those of our number in distress. Now, all around the world, believers are in distress, not simply because of this pandemic, but because of persecution and so on. He says, raise up the fallen. During this time of pause, when people are really, they're quarantined, they're in their homes, some will fall away. You know this. He says, raise up the fallen. Assist the needy. Heal the sick. Turn back those of your people who stray. Feed the hungry. And this is what we do. Release our captives. And there were many who were imprisoned because of the faith, as you know. Revive the weak. And there are those who are weak today. Encourage those who lose heart because of the fear, because of, you read one day it's okay, you read the next day it's not okay, you read here one day on the news you can do this, and then they change their minds on that. Let all the nations realize, oh boy, I think God has the world's attention now. Let all the nations realize that you are the only God and that Yeshua HaMashiach is your child, and that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, I was telling Grant earlier, I said, the only reason I'm sharing this with you is hopefully to give you a tool to remind all of us that God will never abandon us. He protects us. We're under his wings. The shield is completely around us. The walls are around us. The Holy Spirit lives. His presence is right here for those who believe. Metaphorically, you understand. He's within you. God the Holy Spirit is within you. You don't have to run to a building behind the walls. You can run to, if you will, directly to our Master and say, please, Father, I am, and we don't omit this unless we're all by ourselves often, but when you're in that moment, reach up, as it were, and let the Father take you by the hand and walk with you and whisper in your ear the words you need to hear from the Lord. And he said, do not be afraid. I will help you.